sure that's not how you pronounce it.
That's how you pronounce extinct. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, no.
Well, do you know what it's about?
No.
Well, then, you should reserve your judgment, Missy.
Sci-fi party line.
Another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me your other host, Carl.
What is happening, Kat?
Hello, Carl. I have strong-armed you into recording with me tonight at this, well, it's kind of Sci-Fi Party Line after dark, really.
It is. It is. And yes, and I feel strong-armed. I got to admit, I was busy. I was doing things today.
You know, I don't want to hear it. Phone, cry like, river.
Extinct. You got to do it tonight. Listen. So I'm here. I have seen it twice now. So I'm ready to discuss.
I didn't realize you were going to be this cranky.
I'm just saying I'm here. I'm ready. Let's do this.
Okay. So last night was the premiere of Halle Berry's Extant. Or is it how you pronounce it, Carl? He was pronouncing it extant.
I said, have you seen that fascinating show Extant? It looks fabulous. And you said, you mean extinct? And I just
recorded evidence of otherwise, and I'm going to find it.
I'm supporting the country girl. So I'm just saying it like you were saying.
That's whatever. So extant. It's a CBS show. It was on yesterday, July 9th, whatever.
9th yesterday.
And I've been looking forward to this because I saw some of the trailers for it. It's Halle Berry. I love her a lot. You know, I admire her. And I thought that perhaps this show got made because of the success of Gravity. So maybe they wanted like something on TV that was astronaut-y, if you want to. Astronaut-y.
After dark starts. Break.
And so I was looking forward to this, and I gotta tell you, Carl, you know how our hearts were broken when Almost Human got canceled.
I'm still a little twitchy about that.
I'm a little twitchy, but I have found another love. I have found another love. It is, I think, perhaps that first little crush thing that's going on. You haven't really spent that much time with the TV show. You got to get to know one another and make sure they're not going to go to Canada or anything like that. But right now, I think first and foremost, the visuals from the first frame was absolutely exquisite. It was beautiful. I was immediately scared because we saw a creepy kid from Looper. Yeah. Halle Berry, her first frame was her puking, so that's something.
The juxtaposition of beauty and not so beautiful, that's it.
Yeah,
that's letting us know she's a real actress, though. She's serious about her craft.
You know, she's done some good stuff. People give her a hard time.
Yes. Let's just get on with the episode.
So this immediately reminded me of our complaint back in the show of Defying Gravity. You remember that?
Def Grav, yes. What a classic.
Yes, Def Grav. And I know, I think it was in our last ship episode, I was telling you about a show with Adam Baldwin where he was an astronaut. It was called The Cape. It was 1996. This kind of reminds me of that, except for without the mystery. It was just straight up astronaut stuff.
Okay, it was called The Cape?
Yes, not The Cape.
Because I was about to get a little concerned.
Like Canaveral, okay?
Okay, all right.
All right,
that cape. You were the person who watched that. No one else I know watched that. You are the only person I know that watched that show.
What, The Cape?
The Cape,
which cape?
The Canaveral.
Oh, okay. Right. Yes. I saw it and I never, like, I just caught it. I don't know why or how. And I was just like, I'm bald with this astronaut. I'm watching the hell out of it. Okay. Anyway, I digress. But so I love to see some good astronaut stuff on TV. I think the sets were great. I think the actors were great. Halle Berry's husband, her current husband, I just love their little family. So far, I thought their future looked realistic enough to not be in the far future. It wasn't as snappy as, say, Almost Human, but it was there. It was definitely defying gravity level of tech.
Yep. To me it did. The whole environment felt like defying gravity. Just even the lighting kind of felt like defying gravity.
Yeah.
So, there's nothing wrong with that. Don't want to scare people away. Defying gravity looked great. It just took them 12 episodes to get started. That's all.
Man.
So, the fact that we are in space, we've got robots, androids, we've got potential aliens, we got corporate intrigue, we got AI, all of that in the first episode, no wussing around. That's a good start.
You know, it was cosgasmic.
Well, look, I am very happy to see something of quality put together. But alas, I have been burnt so many times. I have been hurt in the past. I am afraid to get excited. Because, okay, look, there's so many ways this could go off the rails. Because, I mean, on episode 2, mess could just start toiling out. So I am cautiously optimistic, but I agree with you. Yes,
God,
production
value.
I'm
gonna get you a shirt that says that.
The casting is good. The casting is good. Special
Beautiful
effects
casting.
Are really good. The costuming and the environmentals are fabulous. The acting is believable. Here's something else that I really appreciate. A lot of sci-fi shows they have this sort of, I guess you can call it like surgical sci-fi, where it's supposed to be the future, but they only pick one thing that's the future, and then everything else is the same or worse. By that, I mean, like, they'll pick aliens have landed. Okay, so aliens is the future, and then, oh, by the way, everything else is apocalyptic and we're living in a swamp.
Dude.
Or they'll go, there's a robot. There's a robot cop. Okay, well, it was robot cop. Okay, robot cop. But then, no, the cars will be the same. Nothing else. They'll pick one piece of technology, blow that out, and then everything else is supposed to be the same, and we're going, wow, this is really science fiction. Okay, why is this a beef?
You know what that sounds like? Continuum.
Well, but, okay, I'm not naming names. That I didn't have any one in mind. But the problem is, if you think about the, quote, future, in other words, if you think about what we're living in now relative to 10 years ago, what makes our times now so exciting is the interplay of a variety of things that are occurring. It's the internet. It's the on-demand TV. It's the bio stuff that's going on. And the world that we live in is a harmony. It's an interplay of all of these things. If you only pick one thing and you try to make that a science fiction story in the future, you're missing the richness of how all the other stuff plays together. So, okay, look, we got space. They didn't just focus on space. We got AI. They didn't just focus on AI. They got aliens. They didn't just focus on aliens. The whole megacorp, you know, things going on, also a big theme in the future. And how these topics are going to come together, how they're going to blend together, is real. It's a real potential for where the show can go in many, many different exciting ways. So that is, oh, you know what else? There is this show. You may want to check this out, Ken. I don't know if you've seen it. There is this show. It's like on the Learning Channel or Discovery Channel or something. It's called Alien Encounters. Okay.
Oh, that.
Hang on now. This is second season of Alien Encounters. Now, you may think you know what I'm talking about. Let's make sure we're talking about the same thing, okay? The show, second season, Alien Encounters, it's quote, an educational show, and it's supposed to be introducing the public to a lot of different science and technologies. You know, nanotechnology and advanced bio and computers.
Oh, it's not the alien conspiracy
show. No, not that. Hang on now, because there's two things we got to deal with. So no, it's not the one where people are possessed by or people are abducted by aliens. Did he talk about that? Not that. The other thing is there's something weird. This is the second season of Alien Encounters, and I've only seen the second season. And when I tried to find the first season seemed really, really different from what I saw. But anyway, here's why the show is good. You remember those shows like Beyond 2000 and Beyond Tomorrow where they would pick a particular technology and they would show you, hey, this is going to be future. This is what's going on.
Yes.
All right. What's cool about this show is they pick technologies, but they have set it in a sort of hypothetical future. So they'll introduce a technology, but it's within a like a science fiction story. So the whole series, Alien Encounters, is this continuing story set in the future about all of these different near future technologies and how they interplay together. All right, so you with me on this? It is an educational show where they're, but instead of going, nanotechnology in the future is going to be blah, 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 they don't do it like that. They have a story and they interact all of the different technologies that they want to teach you about into the story. There are people in the story and stuff happens. It is really a unique way to do it. And the best part, what I really, really was surprised about is the quote science fiction story where all this stuff is woven together is not lame. It is a really interesting sci-fi story, except it's just all of these different cool technologies and things blended together. So I know this is going off top, but the thing is, that was the first time, other than Almost Human, the first time that I really appreciated a whole bunch of different kind of technologies being blended together in a story and in a way where the interplay, the interaction of the technologies made the story better. And it wasn't all isolated and one thing at a time.
Okay,
they treated the audience like they had some sense. They made it smart. And it was the combination of these things that really made an intriguing and interesting story. And so to see that in a science fiction, a purely science fiction, it's not educational, science fiction story, that's the theme that we want to go with. That's the direction we want to go. And the fact that they've gone down that way, good. This is a good start. I mean, this is encouraging. This is encouraging. So,
yeah.
Good. Looking forward. So, two birds and one stone.
Yeah. I was just like, okay, we roundabout that one. Wow.
But the other point I'm making is one of the few other times where that's been the case, Almost Human, Fringe. Now, if you take those out, Extant, Almost Human, Fringe, and you think about some of the other quote sci-fi shows that we've really liked and we've really enjoyed. They do tend to focus on a single kind of technology, and that's it. It's the future or an alternate reality, and while they're great stories and it's good, and I enjoy science fiction in all its forms, the fact that we are now heading to a future that's going to be this multi-technology, multimodal kind of thing, and the stories that can be told as a result of that, that's where we should be going with our new sci-fi. So I'm really happy to see.
I agree with that. I agree with that. And I guess to give you some examples is like the guy gave a presentation. He was talking about his AI kid, and the kid and the presentation. I was so impressed because it took me a while to realize that that was a new type of PowerPoint.
That ain't no PowerPoint.
I'm just saying. Just think if it was PowerPoint, but like it was just so much better than PowerPoint. and
that hard.
I know, but I'm just it was just so brilliant that it took me a second to realize that what was going on, like, oh my god, we're watching a PowerPoint of the future. and it was just little things like that I really appreciate the whole setting. It felt like there was some love thrown in here. So let's get into the story just a little bit. So, Halle Berry, she is a scientist called Molly Woods. And if anybody listened to Buzz Out Loud, you remember Molly Woods. She was a host. That is also a porn star name, Molly Woods. So that name, I'm not sure why they picked it.
Curious as well. I was curious about that. But
oh, you only knew the porn star.
No, I just don't think, well, it's. The name needs some help. We'll let it go. I don't even care. Don't even move
okay,
on.
Okay, fine. So, I didn't know that the kid was in AIT. He said he needed a popper or a jump or something like that. Then they popped him open. I was like, oh my God. And I was like, Carl has to see this. I was just beside myself and I just would not rest. Like, I was boiling over literally the whole day until I texted you. And I was just like, I have to. I know I'm going to get, he's going to yell at me because Carl is cranky, guys. Don't let him fool you. But I knew that I had to just, he needed to see this now, and we need to talk about it now.
Okay, so indeed, someone spilled the beans, either in a preview or something. I knew the kid was an AI. But let me tell you, we got two things working with us here. This is produced by Steven Spielberg.
Oh!
And Steven Spielberg was responsible for the movie AI. So that by itself, these things do not mean, when I saw that was the case, that did not mean that, oh yes, this is going to be great. Mm. I was like, okay. And once again, even the backlit sort of nebulous moral kid, that's pulling us back into AI. But I always thought that Spielberg deserved a second shot at what happened on AI.
It wasn't that bad. It was an AI gigolo, too.
I believed he deserved a second shot. It's like this might be his chance. So.
Okay, so the kid, we know he has a few problems.
Yeah, a little glitch. A little software issues there.
Yeah, and I don't know why. Like, that kid, you know, I imagine Eric, our other host, if he was a kid, he looked just like that. Right?
I don't know who would say that.
Because but... you don't want to get in trouble, Eric. He's never going to hear this. Anyway, that kid, when I first saw him, and we know how he behaved in Looper, I was just like, okay, what's going to happen? Because I thought maybe he was just going to play a really, you know, just a kid. No, they got him because they know he can play evil.
Look, just because he found a dead bird.
No, I think he killed that bird.
Listen, we don't know what his motivations are. You know what I think the problem is?
What?
I think he likes his work mom better than Hallie. And he wants those two to be a couple in terms of the robotic engineer and the lady at work. Because look at how he acted when he saw her.
Yeah.
Compare that to Halle Berry up in the house. He didn't seem... I mean, when he ran toward her, that was the most animate we'd seen him the whole episode. So it doesn't mean that because he is an AI that he is evil. It could simply mean that he just don't want Hallie to be his baby mama. He wants the other woman, and he wants to try to make things happen.
That's a great observation.
So I'm just saying, you know, give the AIs a break. Let's wait. And see.
So what do you think about the discussion they had about what is your plan in case of the robot uprising? Like, it was a valid question on both sides.
Yeah. Well, look, from a research standpoint, if you want to play around with pure human equality robots, I'm down with that. That's fine. But as a product, you're trying to let this thing loose to everybody that's out there. Oh, there are going to be some issues with that. There are going to be some real big issues. So from an investigative standpoint, from a research standpoint, I think human equivalent AI is a valid pursuit and an interesting thing, just like I believe in nuclear energy. And I like, but having that in everybody's house may not be the best plan for a variety of reasons. So, the way that scenario was cast, I'm not okay. Let me be careful when I say this. When you watch a lot of science fiction, I'm a big fan of scientists in sci-fi, but they always want to try to make them the mad scientist, right? They always want to, independent of social norms and the impact of what they're building, just let it loose and see how it and the mustache twirling begins, right? I think most reasonable scientists always understand that what they are doing exists in a context. people that do viral research are not doing it in their living room. They are in a safe, protected environment. So for them to right out the bat say, oh, well, of course I want robots loose that are wandering around with no laws and no moral tech. That'll be fine. Everyone will just get used to that. That is blatantly naive. That is
completely. Well, no, his point, I mean, I know you know his point, but his point was, if we are to make robots not want to overthrow us because for some reason people think that that's what robots want to do, his point is let them live amongst us and have the human experience. However, if you want them to have the human experience, you can't have a kill switch for them because that them knowing that there's a kill switch is not the same as having the human experience, maybe. I mean, because I guess literally everyone has a kill switch
because everybody does.
You can put a gun to somebody's head at any time and kill them. However, I don't think you go to jail for turning off a robot, or maybe you should. I don't know. But I mean, I think it's a valid thought experiment just to think that all the way through. Is he really a kid that execute commands that resemble love, or is he actually loving in the way robots love? How do we know? How do we know the difference? How do we know that that being's process is
that's a really exciting question, and I agree with you on that. I always am wary when I see that question tackled in entertainment because never seen anybody do it right. But let's hope. I mean, just the fact that they're bringing it up as a possibility is interesting.
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about, where there's a lot of potential with the canvas that they have spun so far. There's really some exciting stuff. So yes, I am always looking for a good tale about whether what happens inside of an AI is real or not. That's very exciting area. I hope they do it right. But if not, that I don't even believe is the A plot in Extant. I think there's so much else going on.
Well, I mean, we can get to that. We're getting to that. We're just going. You're just tackling stuff. So, let's go with the A plot. She, Halle Berry, Molly Woods, gets pregnant in space. She was in space for 13 months on a solo mission and gets pregnant. And we don't know how. Exactly.
Yep.
What do you think about that? Because I think that a lot of people knew about this premise, and for whatever reason, it turned people off, and I'm not really sure why.
Well, I think it kind of feels like something we've seen before.
Yeah, but I don't know where. Like where?
I'm trying to piece it together. Maybe it was Outer Limits.
There
was
people don't watch Outer Limits. Watched it, and then.
But fans of science fiction, who this is one of the targeted audiences for this. Now, again, CBS and Spielberg are doing what they do best, which is trying to make crossover programs where it might have a certain scientific or science-fi theme, but it's going to be open to a broader audience. That's what they've got to do for broadcast TV these days, and anytime they actually try to make purely sci-fi shows, they cancel them in the season. So that's understandable that's the direction that they're going to make the A-plot with, which actually was one of the reasons I was hesitant to watch the show as well, because I mean, until I found out about the AI aspect, I was like, well, okay, there's this whole kind of Astronaut's Wife, Outer Limits, Twilight Zone thing where what's the baby going to be like? When I say it is also very easy for the show to go off the rails, depending on where they focus, this can be interesting or this could be less than interesting. Cool.
Well, they do have I'm going to butcher this. Hiroyuki Sanada from Helix. I got our guy from Helix. And he's walking around being mysterious, and so he's like one of the main players in the big megacorp. And also, not only in addition to that, we have this big mysterious guy from Jericho, Brad Beyer, who is like a former scientist an astronaut mm-hmm. who they say committed suicide, but he's up walking around like being Deep Throat from X-Files, trust no one, mm-hmm. looking disheveled, giving messages. So on the one hand, we think, you know, like is she married? Was this like, you know, her getting pregnant with Jesus back in the day? Are we saying that the same type of God alien thing that got Mary pregnant back in the day got Molly pregnant now? And, you know, maybe we don't know about these aliens and blah, blah, blah. Or is there something going on with the Megacorp, Trust No One, X-Files? Or is it a combination of both? What's happened? I don't know. That's kind of exciting to me, yeah?
Yep, yep. It's good. It's good. The fact that, again, that that's not the only thing going on is what's holding my attention as well. Because, yes, there are a lot of questions around that. But if it becomes purely about the emotional impact of whether she's pregnant or not, and how she got pregnant, and the stress that that's going to cause on the marriage. Okay.
Oh, you know that's coming.
Yes, but if that was the main story, and if that was the whole thing that the direction of the series was going to go, that could become tiresome quickly, because it saps all the magic out of what is the supernatural sci-fi part of it and focuses on the soap opera-y part of it.
And that's the problem I have with Game of Thrones.
Yeah. What? What? Okay, look, can we not go there? I mean, look, it's
fine.
Not the same thing.
Fine.
It's not the same thing. So yes, that is just, that's one possible path or thread, but there's so much other stuff going on. I think it's going to be a rich experience. I think it's going to be a lot of cool stuff. So yes, okay. So now we got quote dead ex-husband issue. Is it an alien? Is it ghost to him?
We looked at the footage and she was tonguing air.
Yeah,
so
it was not a good look. If no other reason, you want to delete that because that hits YouTubes and you're never going to fly again. I tell you.
No, you're not, because it was the most awkward thing ever. And I just, so nothing was on video for her to see. She didn't look at the whole thing, I don't think, because she doesn't see how she got to laying down. She just saw that she was hovering in the air, tongue in air.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. She deleted. She didn't look any further than that.
Yep. Yep.
So I don't know how she got pregnant.
Well, apparently, he just touched her belly. See, a little finger action, and then bing.
Oh, E.T. And then style.
Exactly. See, there was a look in her eye that she just knew. And so, there you go. So that's the magic of Alien.
It was literally okay.
It was okay.
She gave her consent. Okay.
Yes, that's it.
All right.
Yeah, that sure. Was it. Yeah.
Well, maybe, that's not the most fun way to go about it, but, you know.
I'm not touching that one. No. I'm not even going there. Good try, though. Good try. That pull me into your astronauty discussions. I won't do it.
Oh, goodness. Okay. So, what else? I really got excited about this because, like, I lost Almost Human. And this gift was thrust upon me. But then, because it reminded me so much of Defying Gravity, I'm a little scared, of course. Like you said, the cautiously optimistic Carl.
Yeah, but, yeah. Just keep the sci-fi in it. Multiple storylines simultaneously going on. I think it'll work. That was not the case with Defying Gravity.
Great. We don't know what it was, man.
Yeah, it was Grey's Anatomy that had some space sprinkled on it. That's what it was.
And then it got crazy in the episodes that did not air.
Well, I'm sure that would have helped if we had seen them earlier.
Those were great episodes. Did you ever watch them? Ever?
I had some problem with the file you sent, so I never did see it.
I didn't send you any files. Don't tell people that. Anyway. let's see. So the... Here's a good thing, a bad thing about being a perfectionist is people know your habits, and because they know that she never messes up on anything, they are suspicious of her accidentally deleting the files and then taking a nap.
And hey, clearly that's not the only reason they're suspicious, because if that other astronaut guy, her buddy that was supposed to be dead, but she saw her by the trash, if he's actually still alive, they know he's alive. So they're already engaged in some sort of a cover-up, and they had her up there sort of like a guinea pig, and they are waiting to see her response, right? Because, I mean, really, it could go in some good ways, it could go in some bad directions. If the guy by the trash is also imaginary, and she's just, all that's in her head, well, that's an unfortunate path. But if he is real, and he is alive.
He said he was real.
Well, yeah. Oh, well, then that clearly everybody imaginary rolls up to you going, yeah, but I'm real. Don't worry about that.
Are you real, Carl?
Oh, yeah, babe, I'm real.
I don't think I'm real. I'm imaginary. Anyway.
If he is actually real, well, then the company knows about that. And there is something that they're trying to cover up. So if that's the case, they sent her up there with the expectation that something was going to happen to her. And they want to see now. They want to know what's going to happen to her. And so that's the other reason they're watching this.
Hang on. Like, what could have happened to him? Like, he's a guy. And unless he got pregnant, like, what were they expecting to happen to her?
Well, never mind the pregnancy part of it. If they came back saying, I saw my ex-girlfriend in the airlock and she had a message for Earth, what do you think the people at the headquarters would be saying? You to go in this room over here and we'll get back with you later. Minimally, if more happened, because we don't know the extent of what really happened. I'm sure it's going to be revealed as the series goes on. But if there was a message, if there was communication, if those guys started manifesting some sort of alien knowledge, all of that stuff would be problematic for the space program and for those corporate guys that are running it. So, like I said, we assuming anything unusual happened to them, the fact they sent her out there, they are going to be watching her very, very closely because they want to know, is she all right or if she experienced the same thing. And I have a feeling that's what's going on. I mean, look, during her psych exam, she's on closed circuit to everybody and all the haunts. They're sitting around there eating popcorn, just wait to see what freaky things she's gonna say. So clearly, something's up, and they want to know. They want to know what her experience was, and they're just waiting. They're waiting.
Okay, so she told her doctor to hold off with the report on her pregnancy so she can tell her husband. But it felt like she waiting a whole week just to tell him. I mean, I know it's not an easy thing. Like, I don't know what you would do. Like, if you were an astronaut, you're having a solo mission, you came back pregnant, I don't think that I would be able to just handle that.
Like you're talking about, it's your whole Mary Joseph scenario going on right there. I've been touched by the supernatural. I wasn't messing around. So it was like, all right, whatever, lady, whatever.
She was in space for 13 months.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Then, like, how did, like, I'm pregnant, but I've been in space for 13 months. You can't even form a sentence.
The real problem is, how's she going to explain when the baby coming out looked like her ex-husband? That's going to be the real problem right there. Because, I mean,
the baby look like? If we don't know she got pregnant in space, like, what is the baby looking like?
That's what I'm saying. Assuming it doesn't pop out like a lizard. like ghost dad, there's really going to be some explaining necessary. But that's the episode of Stand Up. So, like, when Vader's helmet comes off, I'm like, all right, let me see how they're going to do that. I'm waiting to see what the baby's going to look like.
Oh, man. If this turns to V, man.
sci-fi, good sci-fi is hard to do. It's walking a tightrope. This could go off the rails at any moment. So that's why I'm scared. You say, why am I cautious? Why am I cautiously optimistic?
Yeah. I guess
anything could just tip this right off, and this could be ridiculous. So I'm just enjoying the moment. I'm enjoying the experience so far. Let's hope they hang with it. Let's hope they can do this right.
I never feel fear until I speak with you about these shows. I'm just like, oh my God, girl, it's the best thing ever. Blah. And then you'd be like, let's break it down step by step. And then I'm like, oh.
I told you, I've seen too much, Kat. That's all. I've seen too much, and I'm afraid.
Oh,
you never love like your first love, Kat. That's what it is.
But it starts over for me every time. It's fresh.
So lucky, lucky.
Yeah, maybe. No, I guess by evidence of the phone call we had, that's not exactly true.
You don't want to be Jane. It'll be the sci-fi cranky line. And it's like, oh, there's another show coming on, and you know they're going to screw it up. You don't want to do that.
I almost started the show like that, but well, yeah, I want to be positive. I mean, we know that all shows are going to eventually get canceled, so.
But give us a fair run. So
I
off.
Mean, I don't think that this has... I mean, this feels to me like miniseries territory. Like, I can't see this Halle Berry as a cinema actress, you know, for the silver screen, staying on TV for 3-4 seasons. I just can't see it.
Well, maybe Halle needs a job. I don't know. The way I have a feeling that maybe she is getting a decent cut of what's going on with this show. Because I agree, she's a very big name. And
I mean, she hasn't been getting extremely good films lately.
Well, that's also true. So maybe she's looking for something with a little bit more security. You see, it's interesting. You see how we as sci-fi fans got to do? We can't just watch a show. We got to try to figure out, well, wait, if a star is kind of like Rob Stark, right? You're like, if he's on the show, how are they going to maintain him as then stuff happens. So.
Oh no, Carl, why did you just do that?
I'm just saying.
Oh.
Now I have to watch shows in a different way.
Is Halle Berry going to be Sean Bean?
No, Halle ain't going to do that. Because I really, between Spielberg and Halle Berry, I think, you know, there's probably a little extra cash going on there where this is her day job now. So I don't think we had to worry about losing. Nah. Oh, come on. Nah. But just so you know, in another case, we have to be wary. You have to keep your eyes open for that kind of stuff. That's how they play it these days. Unless it's a cable show.
You just don't want me to be happy.
I'm just trying to prepare you. Stuff's crazy. You can't just be a wide open fan anymore. They just keep hammering us. They keep coming at us with crap. So you got.
You're supposed to start over new every time.
Yeah.
It's like a turn a page. It's a different chapter.
I would do that if they didn't do the same stuff again and again. I don't mean story wise. I mean.
So all shows are alike to you.
Oh no. What I said is, if you look at how. The producers, well, not the producers, but the people who decide whether a show stays on or not.
Yeah,
those. You look at how they treat stuff. They've got these same kind of repeating patterns that, and they don't pay attention to the facts. Think about so much of the good sci-fi that has been on that required a little more than a season, two seasons to really get rolling, right? If that's the case, why don't you just budget ahead of time? You need to give shows time. They don't do that. They look at a show, they go, it's science fiction, it's expensive, it hasn't made it out of the box in 4 episodes, we're going to cut it. And no, most good sci-fi, I mean, geez, look, even Star Trek started out a little bumpy.
Oh, well, yeah, we know that.
So why would they not assume that sometimes it takes a little longer to build an audience? So I'm not worried. My fear and my concern isn't necessarily just with the people who write and create the show. I'm always looking for the people in the background, the people pulling the strings, because they can mess up a show or cancel a show completely independent of what's going on in the show. So sometimes I watch on two levels. I'm watching who's in the show, what's going on, how good is the show. And then I look, all right, well who's involved with it? What's the environment? Because, okay, here's some other math that I'm doing. All right, because Spielberg is involved, this show's going to get more latitude. than another show would. I mean, look how long Terra Nova was on. Just one season. I'm just saying, because Spielberg is involved, if anybody else was, geez, even Abrams has been getting a hard time. But, you know, if it was anybody else involved, this show would have to work a whole lot more to try to stay on. So that means that, okay, it's got a real budget. The effects are going to be square. It's going to have a little bit more time. Same's the case by putting Halle Berry in here. It's going to bring in a broader audience. More folks.
Actually, it has brought in the older audience, according to the Hollywood Reporter. So there is a great audience. The ratings were fine, but they were not as good as Under the Dome.
Well, how can I delicately say this? There are shows that are about science fiction. And when you put a smart science fiction show on, the audience is not going to be as broad. If you put a show up there that is just mystery or something that is not science fiction-y, your audience is likely going to be broader, because the audience that wants to see that may not necessarily have the same defenses up that they would against science fiction. Now, we all know, as sci-fi fans, that a science fiction program can cross genres, and it can talk to all sorts of different audiences, and it doesn't just have to be about the technology and the aliens. It's great. And that's what makes the stories different. But we know that that's not the only thing that's in the stories. But if you are not a traditionally sci-fi fan and you're sitting down to watch something on TV and the first thing you see is a spaceship, you're going to go, oh, this is one of those sci-fi things. I'm not going to watch this. And you'll run around and then you'll watch something else that's on.
First frame.
Right, right? So you have to realize, as a creator of science fiction, as a person who's putting a science fiction show on television, that there is going to be a bias simply because the show is, quote, different. And that's going to change.
It's so accessible.
Whatever you're saying is because you are a sci-fi fan and you have a broad appreciation. There are a lot of folks who just, the fact that they see that battery pop out of that kid, that's it. Change the channel. I don't want to have my mind expanded. I don't want to be thinking about other possibilities. I would be much more comfortable watching people kill each other underneath an invisible bubble. That's really my show, and I'm more comfortable with that. I can relate to that.
Okay, Carl.
So if you're putting a sci-fi show out there, you cannot expect it to have the same audience as some other shows that are not necessarily science fiction. It takes time.
All right, boo. I'm going to shut you down. Sure. I'm going to stop you right now, because you're going to go, people, you preach it to the choir right now. Because, we have a really small audience. You got to be really into it.
The whole reason I'm saying that, that was for two people. That was for two people I went on that tirade.
Charles?
No.
Oh, for me?
No.
Oh,
no,
for you?
No.
For Stephanie?
You really going to let me tell you? I'm trying to tell you. It's for two people. Just accidentally, if someone who is in the production management and deciding whether or not sci-fi shows should stay on TV or not hears this, that was the only person that it was that for that person. And for people who might not be watching science fiction, but might give it a shot.
And then we'll listen to the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast.
What's happening is their friend has handed them the iPad that we're on right now and said, you need to listen to this. This is what I've been trying to tell you forever. And they're like, no, I think reality TV is what I want to go back to.
But don't treat them like that. If they want to watch reality TV and extant, okay.
That's what I'm saying. Expand. I watch reality TV shows too, but I expand. You know, sci-fi folks have a broad perspective, a broad appreciation.
Somebody titled there on Boston.com their review of this Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Unkind.
don't know, guys. I was happy, and I think after I watched this, I may have needed a cigarette, and I don't smoke.
It really was beautiful, though. They did.
Yeah, I told you. Boom. Job. Now you see, I was all up on your phone.
Yes, you
I threatened Carl. I told him if he didn't come on tonight, that I was gonna jump into my Jeep, put on an astronaut diaper, and drive to DC. I don't even know where he lives, and I was just like, I'm gonna be up in that bitch.
It was the diaper part that really got me to respond. I was like, I don't need that. I don't really need that. Yeah, I responded.
We know that chickens and diapers.
Yeah.
Astronaut diapers. Okay, anyway. But so this will go up on the feed and
in a timely manner.
Yes, of course.
Excellent.
Whatever. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I am afraid now. Thank you, Carl.
I'm just saying, guard your heart, fans. We've been hurt.
I mean, but every hurt is a different hurt, and if it makes you feel really good, then allow it to hurt you. I mean, if you allow something to make you feel good, you got to also allow it to make you feel bad. So, I mean, it goes with the territory. You got to really get in there and just fall in love with no abandon, Carl. We got to get you on that. And fresh sheets.
I'm sorry. She's got to woo me. She's got to woo me first. So, I'm just...
You're
I'm
the
just...
guy. You're supposed to be doing the wooing. So, you need to woo this show.
Mm-hmm.
And make it come around to... You're out of, and that's our show.
I was trying to go with that. Woo and show. Look, yeah. Smooth. You did it, Kat. No one noticed that was a not so gentle. Masterful analogy.
Oh my God. So we are just clowning around now, so we are gonna wrap the show up. So thank you, Carl, for taking time out of your busy schedule, because you're so super important and you're like IT for the president or whatever.
So I don't like to talk about it.
Whatever. We'd love your feedback. Old fashioned style if you'd like, 773-336-2686. If you can't remember that phone number, it is on our website. And that website is scifipartyline.com. And if you're listening to this on your device, you can just look at your device and tap the link and it will call that number. And you can tell us how amazing I am and how awesome Carl is.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. We are also on Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes, and on Twitter, you are Fancy Fembot. And I am Robo Minister. Because we've been doing this so long, we got out of the habit of actually giving our handles. So, Fancy Simba.
Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. Right. Yeah. So, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. And we'll see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.
Cool.
See? Quick. Simple. No.
End of line.